If you have a Bible with you today, I'd invite you to open it up, or an app on your phone. Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 24, and I'd like to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we seek your Holy Spirit to open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive your seed today. We pray for your grace to till the soil of our hearts. We pray that you shower us with your mercy. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In your holy name, amen. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but to gather the wheat into my barn.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus goes on to tell one more parable after this one before he sends the multitude away. Now, we don't know if there's 50, 100, or even 1,000. All we know is there's a multitude. In trying to discover the treasure that is found in this parable, I'll refer to the explanation of the parable that Jesus gives, and I invite you to check it out over the week. It helps to show us that some, if not many, gathered there that day, walked away no different than when they had come. The crowd had heard the words of the Creator of the heavens and earth, yet many walked away no wiser, no more touched, no more transformed than when they had arrived. How can I be sure? It says, after the crowds had dispersed, the disciples requested an explanation of what Jesus had just taught. Here we have those who were closest to Jesus. Those who have heard, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. They had heard firsthand his teachings on murder, adultery, divorce, and love of our enemies. They had witnessed Jesus' healing a paralytic. And by now, they had also witnessed Jesus raising a young girl from her deathbed. They had even been sent out in twos to heal the sick, to preach that the kingdom of heaven was near. All of this to say that despite all they had heard, all they had seen, and all they had accomplished, they were left confused at the teaching of this parable. They wanted, they needed an explanation. Certainly if those that had been chosen, those that had heard, had witnessed, had even performed miracles themselves, needed an explanation. Think how many of the multitude left the church that day scratching their heads. It's sad to think how many go away from sermons or worship experiences without a word of grace in their heart. Let those who have ears hear. I think one of the hidden treasures of this parable is the model of small groups. A model that suggests that after corporate worship, we should gather in a small group to discuss what we've heard, to help further understand and even expand on what was presented for the sake of our own benefit. I mean, that's exactly what the disciples were doing. They needed their Bible study leader, Jesus, to expand. And my guess, if it's good for the 12 that were closest to Jesus, it might just be good for us. Just saying. The disciples had heard the words, "Ask and you shall be given," and so they did. Their request to Jesus to explain the parable and his response shows the beauty of God's patience and willingness to teach a humble heart. Psalm 25 puts it this way to those who ask, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way." God is willing to take the time to teach us. Are we willing to take the time to ask? And so we see Jesus' response, so willing to take the time and patience to expand upon his teaching. That is the nature of our God. He's willing to come to you with all the patience in the world. And of course, time is not an issue for him. To speak to your heart, to scatter his abounding grace so that his seed may take root in your heart. He's knocking at your door. Are you willing to open it? So there they are, the knuckleheads, right? They've been chosen to spread the news that the kingdom of heaven is near, and even they need to have an in-depth Bible study. And Jesus proceeds to tell them about how the kingdom of God is here on earth. It is the world in which we live in. Jesus says this, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the weeds are the children of the evil one." They live in the field. And the field is the world. Jesus shares the present and future state of the kingdom of heaven. The present and future state of the kingdom of heaven. Friends, we must realize that the kingdom of heaven is near. Dare I say that the kingdom of heaven is actually here. And the condition of it is this. There are those among us who have a good seed planted in their heart. And there are those among us that have a bad seed planted in their heart. That is the condition of the world we live in. The condition of the kingdom that is here. And knowing the condition, do you remember the responses of the helpers to the farmer? They asked with enthusiasm, "Master, do you want us to pull the weeds?" Their question to Jesus and his response, "No. No. For in gathering the weeds, you uproot the wheat along with them." I think there's more than meets the eye to this statement. Jesus doesn't simply want to risk the loss of some of the wheat. Not at all. Within the context of the culture of that time, the weeds would not have been able to be identified until the wheat starts to bear its fruit. So the wheat looks just like the weeds in the area. I think that's rather profound, isn't it? Until the seed that has been planted by either the good sower or the evil sower starts to bear its fruit, there is nothing to distinguish it from being of worth and value or being fuel for a fire. Let me see if I can explain, for example. Take this watch. This watch was given to me by my dad over 5 years ago. It sat in his closet for 2 years prior. prior to the day he gave it to me. He had received it from a vendor where he works as a gift, and because he already had a nice watch, he just simply stuck it on his shelf. 2 years went by. His watch stopped. He remembered that he had this on his shelf, and so he went into his closet and he grabbed it and he opened it up, and behold, it wasn't working. So off he went to the jewelry store, not to buy a new battery, but to buy a new watch. That's when I received this lovely timepiece and a note attached saying, "Thinking of you, son, and oh, by the way, it needs a new battery." That's just my dad. It is. So I opened the box to find this beautiful timepiece, bright and shiny. At first, I got to admit, I was a little discouraged that it wasn't working. I was a little angry that I'd have to immediately invest a little money in this new gift. Was it really a gift? So I decided to slip it back into the box and put it on my shelf. And as I was putting it into the box, I noticed a piece of paper tucked inside the box. So I pulled it out, and it was the owner's manual. And I thought, well, that's pretty helpful. Now I know what size battery I need, right? So I started reading. I invested a little time in reading the owner's manual. And to my surprise, it was quite an interesting read. It turns out that this watch that Dad gave me didn't need a battery at all. It's a green watch. It works off of kinetic energy, and all I had to do was wave it back and forth like 100 times. That's it. A little bit more of an investment of my time. And after 100 times of doing that, maybe like 2.5 minutes, it started to work. And for 5 years, it's kept perfect time because it recharges just by the movement of my body. An investment that I don't even realize I'm doing anymore. I got to admit, I called my dad to tell him what he gave up, to rub it in a little bit. Just saying. How does this relate? It took an investment of time, not money. How does it relate to what Jesus is telling us? I think it's simple. We don't have the vision to see what God sees. We can't see the heart of another, but God can. Therefore, we cannot, by no means, judge one another. The wheat and the weeds look too much alike. Remember, it's only until the wheat starts to seed out to bear its fruit that it becomes distinguishable. And a difference can be made. I'm telling you, we have to be careful with unclear vision and clouded vision and no sense of when the harvest is coming. There's just no way we can make that judgment call. No way. However, I do believe we have a job to do. We've got a calling, a command even, to love our neighbors as ourselves. We might not be able to distinguish between a good heart and a bad heart, but we can surely invest time into the field that God has prepared before us. I stand before you today as living proof that a weed can be transformed into wheat. On August 10th, 1991, I stood at the front of a very small Catholic church in Wakeman, Ohio, not very far from here, watching my bride-to-be walk down the aisle, escorted by her father. It was a proud moment for me. As I looked at Connie, thinking, here she comes, the woman that's going to fix all my problems. It's okay to laugh. I stood there as we exchanged our vows, lost in her beauty. The priest rambling on about honor and cherish and have and to hold and sickness and in health and richer and for poorer. I'm only able to repeat that now because I've had the opportunity to lead a few couples through the exchanging of their vows. But what I heard that day was much shorter. I heard to have and to hold. That's it. That's all I heard, to have and to hold. I was a weed. After exchanging the vows, we were given the opportunity to walk over to the baptismal font, offer our marriage to God. So Connie kneeled down. Before God. And I stood there, kind of looking at her. I reached over and put my hand on her shoulder. I wasn't about to get down on my knees. Now, I don't know what she was talking about with God, but I can tell you this, it was a long conversation. And if I had to put words into her mouth today, I'm thinking she probably was doing this, offering herself to God to be my bride, to be my wife. She was offering herself as an investment of time, prayer, and patience. I, on the other hand, was not really conversing with God, at least not in that way. I think what I was probably doing was, okay, God, let's hurry up. Come on. Got a party to go to. Got a honeymoon to go to. I was a weed. I really was. But I can tell you this. In that standing room only small rural church, where over 200 of our family and friends came to witness the exchanging of our vows, not a single one of them could tell the difference between Connie and I. They couldn't tell who was the weed and who was the wheat. It would take an investment of 14 years, an unbelievable amount of patience, and a whole lot of prayer. But finally, this weed became wheat. Jesus makes it absolutely clear that we're not to judge, that we're not to attempt to tell the weeds from the wheat, and we're certainly not to pull the weeds that are growing, certainly not to pull the weeds that are growing next to the wheat. Because there is that hope that God's grace, God's mercy, will transform even the hardest of hearts. We're to leave the harvest up to God, to his angels who are equipped for the harvest, to his angels who have the vision to distinguish the difference. Our mission is to spread God's love, to be an inspiration to others, to love our neighbors, to pray for our enemies, to be the hands and feet of Christ. I want you to watch this short video.
When's it gonna happen? When are you gonna tell me? When are you gonna show me? Are you really just gonna keep it to yourself? I mean, sure, we hang out with a completely different crowd and listen to different music, but is that really all it takes? What are you scared of? I'm not talking about how you've done it before by judging me. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? What I need is for you to pick me up when I'm down, to be there, just be there, you know? There's something missing in me. Sometimes it feels like there's this hole in my heart, and nothing I do ever fills it. But you found it. You have this thing, this person that makes you whole. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to walk out of here ready to do whatever it takes. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love looks like. I mean, stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. You know, it may not be cool, and people may talk, and honestly, I'll probably argue with you, and when you screw up, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please, don't give up on me. So let me ask you again. When's it gonna happen?
How we respond to the grace that we have received impacts the kingdom of heaven that is near. It impacts the kingdom of heaven that is here. I want to close with this last story. In my final year of seminary, I got to take a class that I wanted to take. It wasn't required. It was the only class in seminary that I got to choose. And so it was on spiritual warfare. And I remember the professor telling me this, the class, about this story of this young pastor who was appointed to a suburban church similar to this. And it was located where this church used to be located, setting-wise, right? It wasn't this church. But anyway, it was in a commercial area. And the new pastor hadn't been there very long. And the building next to him had sat vacant for a while, and a new tenant bought the building. And that new tenant brought in an adult superstore. And imagine the fear and anxiety that young pastor was living through. And the members of the church gathered around his office one day. "Pastor, what are we going to do? We've got these picket signs. We're ready to go picketing. We've got somebody who's going to be on watch 24/7 to write down license plate numbers, to follow up and make phone calls. What do you think?" And that young pastor said, "I think we start praying. That's what we do first. And then we go and wash their windows. And then we go and mow their grass. And then we go and shovel their sidewalks." The whole time in prayer. It was, his ideas were not well received at first. But reluctantly they did it. They followed through. And 8 months went by. And this new landlord came over one day to talk to the pastor. He said, "Pastor, whatever you're doing, please stop. My business is doing terrible. I can't even do this anymore in my heart. Will you accept me? Will you accept me if I close my doors?" And that's what he did. He closed the doors on that adult superstore. He destroyed his entire inventory. And he transformed that building into a ministry center for those suffering from addictions. He became a leader in that church. Because a good seed was planted. An investment of prayer, time, and patience was practiced and lived out. We have that opportunity, do we not? Would you pray with me? Now, gracious God, let us not be stingy with the grace that we have received. Allow us to go from this place practicing what we have heard, distributing your grace freely, loving our enemies, praying for others, investing time, patience, and prayer, knowing that the kingdom of heaven is here, not knowing the time of harvest. Allow us to be your servants. Amen.